And welcome back here on Husker Radio. Glad to sit down now and talk to Carol Blood, state senator here in the great state of Nebraska and one of the recently announced candidates running for governor. Senator Blood, appreciate the time.
My pleasure. Happy to be on.
Now, Senator Blood, a very crowded race that you find yourself in here for a race to replace the incumbent, Governor Pete Ricketts, when he reaches his term limit. But before we talk about that race too much, if you don't mind, give our listeners a little bit of background on yourself.
Well, I am serving my second term in the Nebraska legislature. Prior to that, I served on the Bellevue City Council for 8 years. I am the mother of 3 adult children and 10 awesome grandchildren. I am a business consultant by trade, which means basically I write feasibility assessments and business plans and help people start and successfully run their businesses. And I've done that since 2005. Prior to that, I ran a Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. So a big background in business, obviously, with the Chamber of Commerce and then in your day-to-day role today.
Yeah. You know, I think I approach things based on the fact that research comes first before you do anything policy-wise, and I think that that's how my business background has helped me.
Now, Senator Blood, let's talk about your time in the unicameral, beginning your second term, as you said a minute ago, and just wrapping up the big redistricting process.
Yeah, the redistricting process was a very interesting process, but I believe that if you would to speak with my peers, especially my Republican peers, they'd tell you that I approached redistricting in a way that was truly nonpartisan, because I believe in the true nonpartisan spirit of the Nebraska legislature, or unicameral. Some people got what they wanted. Some people got other things. But I do believe, regardless of the chatter otherwise, that the vast majority of people were there to truly put together a nonpartisan effort and draw the best maps that we possibly could.
Senator Blood, your name was thrown around a little bit in the rumors of considering a run for governor. So tell us what led to the official decision to announce your candidacy, please.
You know, to be very frank, it was the press releases of the other candidates. I'm a Nebraskan born and raised. Born in McCook, raised in rural Nebraska in Adams County, and our family farm is in Clay County. And growing up in Nebraska, I never remembered this us versus them dynamic that I'm seeing in these press releases. And to be really frank, I had not planned on running for governor. That was not on my radar. But by the time the seventh person came into the race and I saw them using really hurtful language that really doesn't build good relationships or bridge divides, but just makes the divide bigger, I decided it was time to be the adult in the room.
Now, Senator Blood, crowded field here for the race for governor to replace Pete Ricketts when he reaches his term limit. What do you plan to accomplish if you would be elected to serve?
Well, the first thing that I would want to make sure we address is that we stop with the smoke and mirrors when it comes to property taxes. So much of what has gone on over the last 20 years has really been just tax shifts. And there are a lot of underlying issues that that pertain to property taxes here in Nebraska that are frankly never addressed, because it's easier for us to point the fingers from the state level down to the local level when really it's the state that's been handing down unfunded and underfunded mandates to, for instance, our counties. And counties are a creature of the state, which means that there's only one way for them to pay their bills, and that is, of course, to raise property taxes. And so there are a lot of things that we can do, which is getting back to basics and common sense. And I think that that's going to be probably one of the first things that I tackle. But my key issues aren't just about property taxes and making sure that we no longer shift that tax burden. But I think it's really important that we maintain public safety and we improve public health. I think all Nebraskans deserve to feel safe and be well. We really need better policy that protects our taxpayers' investments when it comes to our infrastructure that is so important to rural Nebraska and urban Nebraska. We need to be able to transport our goods, and we need consumers to be able to get to our businesses safely, I should add. And then I want to make sure that people have a better understanding of what goes on and how we make the sausage. One of the things I pride myself in is that for the first time ever, the redistricting committee had to do everything in a public forum. And that was something that I pushed for, was transparency and not going behind closed doors. I think we do way too much behind closed doors, even though we do have public hearings. I think we can still do better to make sure that our citizens are better informed.
Again, we have Nebraska State Senator Carol Blood joining us, discussing her campaign for governor of Nebraska here, a recent announcement made by Senator Blood running for the office, currently filled by the incumbent Governor Pete Ricketts. And Senator Blood, you mentioned a little bit a few moments ago responding to why you've decided to run for governor, that there's a bit of a divide here in the state of Nebraska. And obviously, there's a big political divide, but there's also a big divide between the East and the West. So if elected, how do you plan to represent those listening out here in the western end of the state?
Well, first of all, the western end of the state needs to understand that our collaborative efforts are going to be much stronger than the voices of a few. So we're going to build a better Nebraska, and we're going to do this through several things. We're going to do this, first of all, by inspiring hope, and we're going to try and work to transform these divisions. And to be really frank, some of the people that have been elected to office are making those divisions bigger. There are many of us, such as myself, who grew up in rural areas and who still have rural connections, that understand why it's important that whatever policy we make pertains to all Nebraskans, benefits all Nebraskans. But we need to begin to tear away these labels that are dividing us, this rural-urban label, for instance. We're all Nebraskans, right? We're all Nebraskans. We all pay taxes. We all have the right to have a better life. So until we start doing that, we really can't invite honest conversation. We have to be active listeners, and we have to start creating these real human connections and really have meaningful civic action. And we're not going to be able to do that until we stop the labeling. This us versus them dynamic, be it rural and urban, be it Republican and Democrat, be it words like progressive, conservative, far left, far right. Again, I'm a Nebraskan, and I know the people listening here generally feel the same way. You know, in rural Nebraska, if somebody got hurt on the farm and they needed help bringing in their crops, we didn't knock on the door and ask them what party they were. We just help them because they're our friends, our family, our neighbors. We got to get back to that. And I believe we can start by changing how our executive branch functions. And one of the things I'd like to add to that is that there has been so much talk about pretend problems, where people are traveling the state, putting out social media posts that talk about things that really don't pertain to making a better Nebraska. But meanwhile, we have issues like our farmers and our rural residents in Mead, Nebraska, being poisoned by the Alt-N plant that went on for almost a decade, and nobody did anything about it. And where was our executive branch during that time? Citing people and never pulling the trigger is what happened. We have the tire fires in Alvo, Nebraska. We have that issue where eminent domain happened on the Excel pipeline, and that land was taken by foreign entities. And now that the pipeline isn't happening, they can do whatever they want with that property, and there is nothing that Nebraskans can do about it. So there is so much that needs to be done, and quite frankly, a lot of it is just common sense. We don't need the pomp and circumstances and the divisive language. We need to remember that we're all Nebraskans, and it's okay if we disagree on things. But we shouldn't let that prevent us from getting really effective legislation done. And we should have higher expectations of our executive branch to get their butts out the door and their boots on the ground and help us solve the real problem.
Now, Senator Blood, let's talk more about some national politics here. What are your thoughts on abortion for those that are listening? Also want to ask about the Second Amendment and the situation going on at the U.S.-Mexico border. Can you tell us how you stand on those three hot topics?
Yeah, and the reason they're hot topics is because our parties have made them wedge issues. And so by using wedge issues, it's a way for our residents to be marketed to and to be purposely scared into believing that somebody is either for or against an issue and that there's no middle ground. So let's talk about guns, first of all. So first of all, I want to make it really clear that I'm a dead eye with a Ruger. I worked in the state prison system for 6 years. Pretty much every law enforcement entity in this end of the state and statewide endorsed my last campaign for the legislature. So I'm like most Nebraskans, where I believe in responsible gun ownership. You know, growing up in rural Nebraska, I understand that law enforcement can sometimes be hours away, and people have guns for multiple reasons, for protection, because again, law enforcement is hours away. Sometimes you need to put animals down. And of course, for those of us that like to hunt, and our rule was always, if you shot it, you ate it, regardless of what it was. So when it comes to guns, there is, for me as an individual, I'm not coming after anybody's guns. And quite frankly, the courts over and over again protect our gun owners and have shown that they have the right to keep and bear their arms. And I think that when people put out that dialogue otherwise, that it really is just meant, again, to create yet again another wedge amongst Nebraskans and Americans in general. When it comes to abortion, I am Catholic. But I want to say that I think that it's really important that women also have bodily autonomy. And I don't think that that always gets addressed. There are lots of people who like to make women and their bodies political, but we don't see that same thing for men. And it, last I knew, it takes two people to make a baby. I'd like to point out, though, that I don't just vote for a bill because it has a wedge issue. We did have a really bad bill that got passed, and I did not vote for it. And I go on record, and it is in the transcripts, that the bill did nothing. It was a lie, and I'm not going to lie to Nebraskans. If we're going to pass a bill in reference to abortion, then it needs to do something. All this bill did was change one type of abortion, which was a forceps abortion, and forcing the doctors to use something called fetal demise. Fetal demise is when they inject a poison into the womb of the mother and then force that mother to give birth to that dead fetus. So you tell me how that made anything better in Nebraska. It didn't move the needle. It didn't change anything. It just made what was already a horrific procedure even worse because there's no other options. It also had no implementation mechanism within the bill, which any other bill you would never pass if the bill didn't say how you were supposed to do it. And the way it was written, it allowed for ambulance chasers to wait outside of abortion clinics. And then as soon as the woman or the woman and the male walk out, the attorney has the opportunity to say, hey, I know you made the decision to have an abortion, but now you can sue that doctor. And I don't disagree with the fact that they are going to allow the doctor to be sued. What I disagree with is that there is, again, no mechanism. And the bill also took away the father's rights and his family's rights. So apparently, even though it took two to make the baby, only one person should be allowed the rights when it came to this bill. So I just want to make it really clear that you can be against wedge issues, but you have to be reasonable. And the fact that you are supposed to be forced as an elected official to accept a bill that is not worthy of your vote is ridiculous. I'm not going to support a bad bill, and I'm not going to lie to Nebraskans. And that doesn't always make me really popular. And I have to say that the GOP actually did a video where they took out the part of a sentence where I said, at this moment, I hate being Catholic because I'm being asked to lie to adults. So, I'm sorry. At this moment, I'm being asked to both lie and protect the unborn. And I'm not going to do the second if I have to do the first, because that bill didn't do anything to protect the unborn. And when it comes to the border, you know, with all due respect, that is a federal issue. And if we're going to talk about Western Nebraska and we're going to talk about farmers, we all know that when it comes to time to bring in our crops, and we all know when it's time to pick beans and pick tomatoes, that we have a workforce that comes up from that part of the country. And do I like the fact that we'll have workers that are not documented? I do not. But we also don't hold these businesses accountable when these undocumented workers come into Nebraska. Instead, we slap them on the wrist. And to be really frank, there's also not a pathway so these people can become citizens in a way that's going to be beneficial to both us on this side of the border and to them that want to cross the border and take care of their families. And if you remove the millions of dollars that they pay in taxes, and they do pay taxes every time they buy food, every time they pay for gas, every time they buy clothes, that's substantial in Nebraska. So I think there has to be some middle ground. And again, right now there's this weird thing where there's a dichotomy of us versus them, right? Everybody's got to be the boogeyman. And if they scare you, then you're not going to even listen to what the middle ground might be because you just want it gone. You just want it out of your face. You just think they're horrible and they need to go away. And to be really frank, again, that's a marketing tool. And until we realize where this is coming from and what the purpose is, it's never going to get better. It is never going to get better, and we're never going to get anything done, and there's always going to be this partisan divide. And that's why I tell people, too, that are interested in my campaign, I'm not asking anybody to change parties. I'm a Democrat. I'm not embarrassed of that. But I'm asking you if you're happy with how property taxes and other things have been the last 20 years. Because to be really honest, your executive branch, your legislative branch have been controlled for decades, not by the Democratic Party, but by the Republican Party. And if you look at my track record, you'll see that I have nothing to do with voting along party lines. I vote what's best for Nebraskans. I've had over 30 of my bills passed in the last 5 years. Those bills are about things that help Nebraskans. And if you look at them, they receive full bipartisan support, and they do that because I work across the aisle. Politics shouldn't be about party. It should be about policy and people. This rhetoric has to stop, and somebody needs to put an end to it here in Nebraska.
Now, Senator Blood, if elected to serve as governor, how would you plan to address the ongoing crisis with the coronavirus pandemic here in the state? And how do you feel that Governor Ricketts has done in addressing that disaster that we've encountered here the past several years?
You know, I try never to comment on elected officials just because being an elected official is hard. And whether you agree with them or disagree with them, it doesn't really benefit anybody to tear them down. But I will say that I do believe in science, that we're really lucky in Nebraska that we have world-renowned epidemiologists. And so anything that I would do in reference to the pandemic would be based on science and not, again, instilling fears in people. You know, one of the things that I think is really interesting is that there's so many people that have opinions, and well, they should, on the pandemic. And they'll refer to people that are not world-renowned specialists. And the thing that always makes me curious is that would they go to those same people for their medical care? Would they knock on the door and say, hey, I think I'm having a heart attack. Can you help me? Or do they only want to quote and use that messaging when they're trying to influence people one way or another when it comes to the pandemic? I think there's a lot of misinformation out there on both sides. I think we can do better, but the one thing I guarantee is that I believe in science, and that is something that I would use as my guiding force.
Senator Blood, if there's anybody listening that wants to learn more about your campaign for governor of Nebraska, how can they do so?
Well, they can call me directly, 402-517-1446 is my personal cell. I've made that available to the public since the first day I was elected into office, way back when on the city council. They can also visit my website at electcarolblood.com. They can launch to my social media through that website. And I do answer all my own emails, so they are welcome to email me as well.
Senator Blood, we appreciate the time this morning and wish you best of luck on the campaign trail.
I appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing a lot of your listeners as I knock on doors out in western Nebraska.